in session. This is the State Affairs Committee, assigned State Affairs Commission. It's March 7th, 2017. It's approximately 3:33. We have a quorum with Senator Egan, Senator Kaika, Senator Giesel, Senator Wilson, myself, and Senator Dunleavy. There are two bills that are going to be hearing today. One is SJR 1, a constitutional amendment guarantee PFD private sponsor, Senator Wilkowski. And then SJR 1, uniform rules, extension billing private sponsor, Senator Gardner. We are going to ask Senator Wilkowski to come up here. So we previously heard of SJR 1 on February 9th. Senator Wilkowski is present. And if you want to just give us an overview of the bill and what it does, and we will then open up for questions from members of the committee and then open up for public testimony. Senator Wilkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Bill Wilkowski, State Senator representing East Anchorage and J-Bear. And this bill, resolution rather, would put before the Alaska voters an amendment to Article 9, Section 15 of the Alaska Constitution to do a couple things. Number one, it would place the current formula for calculating the permanent fund dividend into the Constitution. And then we also have a requirement that there be inflation proofing. And that is fundamentally what the resolution does, Mr. Chairman.
Anything else to add? Do you have questions for those in the committee? Senator Cochran.
Inflation proving at this point, you would just leave it up to a matter of law, is the way I take it, because if in subsection C, it's sufficient to offset it. Yeah. So you don't think paying CPI or anything like that?
Thank you, Senator, through the chair. My original intent was to put the exact language that we have in the statute right now into the Constitution and legislative legal. So it was a lot to add to the Constitution, and they did not recommend that. So currently, inflation proofing is set by statute. If we pass this, if the voters pass this as is, legislature approved, the voters pass it, then the existing statute would still control. The legislature could change that in there, just like they can do now, quite frankly.
Additional questions for Senator Wilkowski? Mm-hmm.
Sure, Senator Tucker. And this is a logical debate. So if you put this in the Constitution and you did use any of the earnings reserve for state government, it would have an impact on the dividend. What is the tension in this that says you could never diminish the dividend because you're establishing it as a right? Or could you, you think, use that? Have you had any, I'm not a constitutional lawyer or account, so how would you ever use that without impacting the dividend, and what would that constitutional right balance be?
Thank you, Chair. So all this does is put the dividend formula in the Constitution and inflation proofing. Interestingly, I think a lot of people don't realize, but by statute now, we actually say that a permanent fund dividend is a right. We actually say that in statute right now. You have the permanent fund dividend is a right to get a permanent fund dividend. So we say that now, and that doesn't confer the same degree of a right as you get under constitutional situation. But remember, we're not declaring that it's a right. We're just declaring the formula is set in the Constitution, and the inflation proofing is set in the Constitution. So I don't think this changes the legal status. I don't think it changes. It makes it more of a right to substantive or procedural due process. I think that's what you would typically get in a constitutional right that you established, is more of an ability to claim legal due process, procedural due process. I don't think you gain that with this. I think what you gain is just putting the formula in the Constitution. I mean, that's really the intent of it. It's not even conferring on an additional right. It's just putting it up, right after it, in the Constitution. And so I don't know. know that it changes legally the position, other than what it does is it, you know, right now, the statute says there is a legal obligation for the permanent fund corporation to transfer funds from the earnings reserve to the dividend fund. I think that's illegal right now. I mean, that's, well, that's being contested in the judiciary. I think that was a statutory dedication that the legislature set up, and that would confer a similar right to what we have right now. And my intent was to basically put the statutes that we have into the Constitution, not change anyone's rights or anything, but just simply codify it so that in the Constitution so that people know that they're going to get it every year. And it's not subject to veto, because that's really the thing that I think will cause the most backlash. If the legislature passes a permanent fund restructuring, I think a big challenge that you'll face is obviously the public, and you know, whether they're referendum or you know, whether they're concerned over it. And you know, we've heard over the last year or two that this talk about, well, this is we're going to guarantee that people, we're going to have a permanent fund protection act. We're going to guarantee people $1,000 dividend. You're not going to guarantee anybody a dividend until you put it in the Constitution, because you can't legally do that unless you put it in the Constitution. So I think what it does is it engenders trust, it engenders acceptance by the people of Alaska that they're going to get this. I think, there's a lot of talk in the building about restructuring the permanent fund, everybody knows that. I think that the quid pro quo from the people of Alaska is, we may restructure and use some portion of the earnings, excess earnings, or some of it, maybe the excess earnings. I think a fair trade-off is to say, well, but we're going to guarantee your dividend in the Constitution.
And I think many of your points are legitimate points. I just see it creating other social problems, and I'll have to point to this a little bit, so thank you.
Questions from members of the committee? Seeing none, we're going to open up for public testimony at this point. We are open for public testimony, and we're going to go to Senator, to start out, we have a number of folks, but I wanted to go to Senator Tillian only because he may like others have things to do, but nonetheless, being a former senator and representative, I'd like to extend him that courtesy to be able to go first. So, Senator Tillian, are you online?
I am online.
If you could state your name for the record and begin your testimony, again, we will afford you a lot of leeway being a former senator, legislative representative for the state of Alaska. We thank you for your service.
Well, I thank you. My name is Malaria from a government paid vacation on Guadalcanal, so it's so awesome. Well, thank you. First off, if you don't change anything and obey the law as it was written, the statutory formula requires the permanent fund corporation requires that they take out inflation proofing first before they approve 50% of the earnings to be sent to the Department of Revenue. That originally we did not even require actions by the legislature to do it. And if you change it in any way, you make it more vulnerable to destruction. Just don't change the law. Give the people 50% of their earnings, put the rest into the fund for building its body, and take the inflation proofing out. I'm opposed to any change of the revenue that we passed. It's only 25% of the bonuses and royalties. The legislature had 75% plus all the taxes, which are another 20% of the value of the oil. And they said, now the fact that we took this little 25% and managed it well, we don't need to change the law. And what it gives to Alaska every year with a dividend equals several thousand jobs as far as the actual money that goes into our economy. All I'm asking is don't touch the law as it now stands. Are there any questions?
Senator Diesel has a question.
Thank you for your testimony, Senator Toyin. So, we're hearing Senate Joint Resolution 1. Are you for or against it? I'm just for clarity.
I'm for it as long as it doesn't change the law itself as it now stands.
Thank you, Mr. Joe.
It just puts it in the Constitution where it belongs.
Thank you, Senator Diesel. Any additional questions for Senator Toyin? So, again, to summarize, Senator, you are suggesting that the law stay as it is and it just be constitutionalized.
Correct. We thought it was constitutionalized, actually. We thought that it was covered. And the letter from Abram goes to me when I was president of the Senate. He said, I think that the Supreme Court would rule that way, but I have no chance. We didn't feel that we needed to appropriate. We thought it all flowed by itself without any help. And we'd love to see it do that constitutionally.
Okay, thank you. Seeing no additional questions, again, Senator, thanks for your service and thanks for your testimony.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. So next we're going to go to David Richard Luntz, Delta Junction. Mr. Luntz, can you identify yourself on the record and your testimony, please? Mr. Luntz, are you online? Mr. Luntz, your phone may be muted, or the phone at the, if you're at the LIO may be muted. I'll tell you what, we'll come back to you. Next, we'll go to, I believe it's James Dockernorth from Wasilla. Are you online? If you can, I'm sorry, Jane, I don't have my glasses on, my apologies. If you can identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony, think about 3 minutes. Thank you.
Janelle Bacador, I just think we should leave the dividend the way it is. I think it should go to the people of Alaska. There's a lot of people that do families and stuff that do depend on the dividend. Some of them, this is their livelihood on funds that they do. Have this source of income actually to help out with the families and stuff. I just don't think it should be touched. I think it should just stay the same, that it should go to the people of Alaska.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next, we'll go to James Squires up in Deltana, in rural Deltana, and then we'll go back to Richard Luntz, also at Delta Junction. Mr. Squires, can you state your name for the record, please, and begin your testimony for about 3 minutes?
Yeah, this is James Squires. I'm from rural Deltana. This has been a tough one because I've always supported the current calculation of the PDFD. It's not necessary to change the calculation of the dividend under the Dunleavy proposal or to meet Isaac Goldsmith target levels. The diabolical PLMV bills that are overwhelming GEO will have permanent ramifications, just like this SJR1 list that Alaska voted for. There are a few overriding parameters that must be kept in check if any of these plans are going to work, especially when Alaska's in a recession. The size, scope, largesse, and footprint of government must be adjusted downward, otherwise government will simply reach around to the other pocket. Since the calculation of the PFD and SJR1 dovetails with the calculations in the Dunleavy proposal, I think it's important to have it on the table stable to the Dunleavy proposal in Senate finance, where it can be compared objectively with SB 21, 26, and 70 before they proceed. So for this reason, I recommend that you move this resolution out of committee today with urgency for due consideration of the law. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you. Looks like Mr. Luntz is not online. Sorry about that. Next, we're going to go to Juliet Stossel, Tok, Alaska. Are you online?
My name is Juliet Stossel. I'm from Tok.
Okay, if you can begin your testimony for you about 3 minutes.
Okay, I residents of Alaska for a year. But we came from the States not because of the funds, but because we wanted to start our life in a freer society. We have seen how it's helped a lot of people, especially in our small area. So a lot of people use it for their firewood, which is a major survival tool up in this area. They'll use it for other things. I think it needs to be saved because people need it. They need the support. And it is their money. It was given to them. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Norman Adolf. Also, talk. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name, but if you're online, please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
I'm Norman Adolf. I'm from Kellogg, Alaska. I moved here with Ms. Sosel, and I still came here because it was a much freer state than down in Lower 48. I didn't know much about the permanent fund when we first came here. But I've been learning through people we made friends with, and I've seen how getting that money affects their lives and how not getting that money would seriously hurt them. And I may have to agree with the first gentleman who offered the testimony. I think we need to take the permanent fund law as it's currently written and amend it into the state's constitution so that it can't be touched. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. Still on talk, we're going to go to Peggy Clevenger. Are you online?
Yes.
Hey, can you state your name for the record and begin your testimony?
I'm Peggy Clevenger. And, okay. And I've been in school for about 12 years now. And I see, even though the permanent fund is my great amount of concern to me personally, I know many, many families that depend on this. I mean, there are so many people who depend on it. I would like to see it be a permanent thing. If that's what the name of it is, a permanent zone. And I think if it is adding it to the Constitution, would be great. I want to say that everybody is going to get mad at me for this, but if the state is so needful of money, could take that out, or sales tax out on things. That way you would get not just citizenry and the consumer, but you would also get the tourist that kind of concern. And it would be a much wiser thing to try to get people's personal earnings. Thank you.
Thank you. Also in Tope, Jack Clevenger, are you online? And if you so, can you identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony?
I'm Jack Clevenger, retired Bell Wright. We got up here about 11 or 12 years ago. We are, and always dependent upon money from the government. Well, I say government, Social Security. Well, that's my income. And you take the permanent fund away from the state people, I guarantee you, you'll have a rebuttal of it, just a thing. But I always love to see good change. I hate to see bad change. Now, if the state needs this money so bad, we'll finish it all. We have oil. We have mine. We can mine. Let us mine. Let us do good. Let us work as a state, all together. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to see if Mr. Lunch is online in Delta. Mr. Lunch, are you online?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk. I apologize. I got bumped off from calling long distance. I would like to make a couple statements real quick. I know there's other people that need to talk. I would like to remind the legislature that they are there, you know, to represent the citizens that sent them there and not their own positions. The spirit of the law regarding PFD management is not in line with the interest and direction of some of the members of the state legislature. In closing, I'd like to remind the legislature also that the ballot is an issue and a matter of great importance, and I believe it needs to go on the ballot. I am for the measure, and I would answer any questions you have.
Any questions for Mr. Lunch from members of the committee? Seeing no questions, Mr. Lunch, thank you for your testimony. Next, we're going to go to John Faulkner of Homer. Mr. Faulkner, are you online?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much.
Please begin your testimony. Okay, identify yourself and begin your testimony, please.
Yes, my name is John Faulkner. I'm a lifelong resident of Alaska, current resident in Homer. I support joint resolution number one in front of you for the following reasons. I believe that the current permanent fund dividend program is a right of the citizens, as Mr. Killian so eloquently pointed out. And if you don't agree with this, I would hope that at least you agree that the people have a right to weigh in on this. There is no other means given to the people, no other voice, since the referendum or petition process is off limits to the public for constitutional amendments. So my understanding is that such a change has to originate with the legislature, and you hold the key. And the key to what? The key to simply letting the public vote. And even if you don't agree that the public deserves to vote conclusively on the outcome of this, I would at least hope that you would agree that an advisory vote is a great way to administer yourself through this budget process. And so I am very supportive of the process of getting it into the public for debate. You know that the debate will be intelligent. You know that it will be vigorous. You know that it will involve all Alaskans at all levels. And so I don't think there's any reason for you as legislatures, as noble and as hardworking and intelligent as you all are, to adopt the opinion that the legislature alone has a lock on wisdom in this matter. So I'm urging you to pass this out and let the voters decide. And please don't allow the current legislature to tap the earnings of the reserve without the vote of the people. So, in summary, I will just say I'm wholeheartedly in support 100% behind Mr. Killian's position on this matter, and we'll end there. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we're going to go to Cordova. David Otness, are you online?
Yes, good afternoon, committee chair and committee. I concur with essentially everything that's been said so far. I think we're at a very, very critical juncture. In fact, I consider this the most important item to have come along in the state for a long, long time. Having worked to get us the permit fund and the dividend myself back in the day, I didn't really think this deal would be coming as harshly as it has, but I feel we've been railroaded into this situation where it's got to be done now. Oh, my God, the sky is falling, and it's the end of the world. If we don't do it, we're all going to die. And it's not the case. If we sit back and realistically continue on the path of cutting back on things that we've come to take for granted for so long now, and those of us who remember Alaska from territorial days, I really have strong feelings about this. And it's an institutional thing that defines our lives, those of us who work for it, those of us who never intend to go anywhere else but live in Alaska anyway. And for expediency's sake, because we're in this crunch, and this is the third time the effort has been made to get into the fund because supposedly we're at the precipice. We've come through it every other time, but we don't seem to learn the lesson in the ensuing good times that occur. We're killing ourselves with that low-end oil tax on our grandfather fields, killing ourselves with the oil tax credits, and we're expected to give up something that really defines Alaska as it became an adult state. We were wise enough to put this statute. We should be smart enough at this point to say, let's keep it going for future generations. Let's keep big money's hands out of it. They are a large part of pushing this whole thing because they want access to that money. And I think most of you know who they are because they've been behind this raiding the fund every time. I think that's all. I would definitely vote for this bill as is if it does not affect the current construct of the fund. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we go to Beth Free and the Matt Sue. Beth, are you online?
Yes, I'm grateful to you for providing this opportunity for us to testify regarding SJR 1, Permanent Fund Amendments to the Constitution. My name is Beth Reed, and I live in Palmer. I must admit to some dismay at the lack of timeliness in notifying us to testify for a village that feels critical to the ongoing fiscal health of Alaska's future. The 30th legislature's efforts to institute new revenues on the backs of the populace in the forms of an income tax, limits or other new valuation of the PFD, redirection of earnings reserve monies to non-essential government, and diminishment of mineral resource payments to the permanent fund corpus are unnecessary and reprehensible. Trump supporters all over the state came out overwhelmingly for his message, and are already discussing how to get rid of those propagating a false message of a statewide financial crisis created by an overbloated government. But passing this bill may well carve Senators Murkowski, Begich, and Gardner's names into the same space of granite we hold in our hearts for Governor Hammond and his colleagues. Those of you who stand in support of SJR 1 will share in that victory of truth and consistency with the sponsors. This legislation is so important to Alaska, her citizenry, and our great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren that I am honored and inspired by this opportunity to fully support and request your colleagues' support and endorsement for SJR 1. The fact as one Vancouver political appointee once said of my testimony in favor of something, I hope everyone listened. It's not often we get to hear such overwhelming praise from Mrs. Freed. The fact of the matter is, the permanent fund is working the way it was designed to work. Senator Dunleavy's proposal reinforces that fact. Looking at current and past budgets, and especially our current revenues and reserves, the crisis I called false in 2015 is still false. Because our revenues are creeping back up, we have plenty of reserves if we don't follow House Bill 57 and increase the budget, if we work to reduce the fat in the administrative budget, and if we judiciously continue to use the earnings reserve and the constitutional budget reserve, we will be fine. Please stop Senate Bill 21, 26, and 70 while passing this legislation through today, and they're becoming our voice as it moves forward on its path to constitutional law. I truly appreciate this opportunity. I'm sorry that the timing was so short for people to start. And as you may have noticed, people don't understand that the bill is in direct compliance with current statute regarding the Gardner Fund, the dividend, and the earnings reserve. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to go to Pam Good in rural Deltana. Ms. Good, if you're online, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
I'm Pam Good from rural Deltana. I for keeping the PFD in its current calculation, not because I look at it as any type of entitlement, because I don't. It's a matter of principle that we're dealing with here. And there are plenty of other entitlement programs that can be looked at for deductions, but this should not be one. And I also do not support the POMD because of the relationship it establishes between the permanent fund corporation and the current government. So the calculation we have is fine, and that's what this bill does. Now, as far as the constitutional protection, this is something that I am challenged with a little bit, because the constitutions were basically written for the people to hold the government accountable. And there are so many breaches and violations currently taking place in the Constitution, I often wonder if this does pass, if it's really truly going to be protected, and the government will use other sinister ways to get back that money. Because when they see something they want, they normally go after it by hook or crook. And a lot of times that may be through taxation, a head tax or something like that, that will dwindle away the PSD if this does go through. The violations that I'm talking about go to opioid databases, accessing databases. And the one currently before us that people are learning about is the facial recognition. These violations are taking place. What's going to protect this one from not being violated too? If we could get them all in check, that'd be great. I don't have a problem with this because I do not look at it as an entitlement. I do look at it as belonging to the people. That is testimony.
Thank you. Next, we're going to Karen Perry, Chugiak, if you could state your name for the record and begin your testimony for your 3 minutes. Thank you.
Yes, my name is Karen Perry from Chugiak, and I represent myself and all future generations of Alaskans. I want to thank Senators Wilkowski, Bankus, and Gardner for SJR1. I agree 100% with this. It is loathsome and deplorable. Loathsome and deplorable that Senator McKinnon and others have gone completely tone deaf on the permanent aspect of the PS dividend. We don't want the calculation changed using a POMD formula. I disagree with Senator Kelly thinking that we need to recalculate the PFD using a POMD formula, and we, the people, expect you to represent us. You are not listening to Alaska citizens down in Juneau, nor do you seem to care how taking part of our PFD is the very worst thing that you can possibly do in a recession that we are in. Do you care about senior citizens on fixed incomes? No. Do you care about single parents trying to make ends meet? No. Do you care about college students trying to get college education? No. Do you care about small business owners trying to provide goods and services for local economies? No. Do you care about young Alaskans trying to save to pay for college education later down the road? No. All you care about is the greed factor in growing your government, along with special interest groups like McKinnon's husband, who is pushing for an income tax. Steal, steal, steal seems to be your only motto. Enough is enough. I agree with Senator Killian. You get 75% of royalties, and along with oil taxes, and you still have been not responsible with those monies. Why should you be allowed to have one more dime? And yet there are proposals for income taxes, sales taxes, capital gains taxes, fire taxes, increased gasoline taxes, and many more. Just stop. You are continually wanting to rob from hard-working Alaskans just because you have spent like fools for years on end. Cut the government vote. No taxes. For those people who are willing and foolish enough to want to give the state more money, I say add it to the Click Stamp program, make it voluntary. Let them donate as much money as they want and put money where their mouth is. Leave the rest of us alone. Try some liberty. It's time to cut government. We want to hear Senator Dunleavy's proposal. And once again, I am asking that you invite Brad Keithley, founder of Alaskans for Sustainable Budget, out to Juneau for a presentation using hardcore facts and numbers. Many others have also urged you to do this. He has offered to come down, so why the delay? Are you afraid of the facts? We want the current PFD formula in the Constitution so that the states in Juneau quit stealing from the people. Apparently, some people cannot discern the difference between, quote, the funds shall be transferred. We do not want our PFD subject to veto due to utter greed, which makes this recession do not want the formula changed. Only a fool can think you're stealing your PFD to protect your PFD. Really? That's asinine. I'm going to roll call vote on SJR1 because Glassons have a right to know where you stand on this issue.
Miss Perry, if you can wrap up, that would be great.
Okay, thanks. A constitutional amendment is the only way to ensure that our PFD is protected and our unique Alaskan legacy is preserved for future generations. Please move this legislation through today and become our voice as it moves forward on its path to law. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Answering your Wasilla, Steve St. Clair, please state your name for the record and begin your testimony.
Yes, my name is Steve St. Clair. I'm representing myself. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm clear.
Okay. And I oppose SJR1. I believe it's a solution in search of a problem. The problem is trying to solve the governor's inability to distinguish appropriation from transfer. In June, this case goes before the Alaska Supreme Court. I think we need to wait and see what their ruling is. Enshrining it in the Constitution is a good thing. I believe in that. However, there are some parts of this bill that, or this resolution, that I do not like. This resolution includes inflation proofing, which is unnecessary, as said by the Permanent Fund Corporation. And it's not necessary. The investments are already inflation proofed. Governor Hammond's 50-50 plan, which everyone talks about, is negated by this resolution because the 50-50 does not include inflation proofing. We are hearing this legislation come forward, and I think that we should have a chance to hear Senator Dunleavy's plan. Senator Dunleavy, I heard from you quite some time back, and I don't recall specifically, got a message into your office, but I'm trying to find out if your plan included inflation proofing or not. Are there any questions of me?
Any questions for Mr. St. Clair? Seeing none from the committee, thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we're going to North Pole, Kenneth McLeod. Please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Yes, my name is Kenneth McLeod, and I'm speaking on behalf of myself. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I'm calling in today because I believe that the Alaska Permanent Fund should not be changed, that it should not be taken for government use, but if it needs to be changed or if a tax needs to be created, that it should go before the people, and the people should have a say in what goes on with their money. I believe this is too important of an issue to be handled by a handful of representatives, and that on matters involving all Alaskans, like the Permanent Fund or like the income tax, that needs to go on the ballot, whether it be a special election or during the normal ballot process, and Alaskans need to vote on it. I very much liked Senator Dunleavy's proposal. I thought it was very good. I haven't read all of the other proposals out there, but again, I think Alaskans deserve a say in what happens with their permanent fund and in their government. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we're going to Rocky Delta Junction, Kurt Schmidt. Please identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name is Kurt Schmidt. I'm calling in regards to SGR1. I support SGR1, which provides to maintain and clarify procedures to govern the PFD and to prevent abuse of the fund and the people who are vested shareholders and recipients of a portion of fund earnings. I call for offering SGR1 to approach to the people, let them decide the fate of their fund, because it is the people's fund. And one Senate member was recently quoted as saying the people don't really know the issues, and the legislature should not let them vote in such matters as the PFD. It's a sheer rubbish, and a lack of representation and disregard of all Alaskan citizens. We are in this current fiscal bind due to lack of foresight from this legislative body that now wants to deny the voters the right to vote on issues so relevant to the daily survival. The legislature owes Alaskans the right to save what is theirs. The Alaska legislature has had plenty of opportunity to safeguard the state from future economic woes when the river of oil ran strong, but they did not. The Sharpie same interest in ELO PFD in any capacity other than those who created the PFD back in 1976 to the fool king. I'm disappointed with the legislative process and procedures failing so many of the Alaskan people that can't come and testify due to work, lack of access, or updates on how to get connected with the legislature. If this is not broadcast on state radio to ensure our representative government truly represents the people's wishes and needs, is a travesty. On behalf of the multitudes of people in the Alaskan villages, the urban poor and politically disenfranchised, teenage college students saving for tuition, I urge you to allow the people to vote on SCR 1 or government these plans to have the option to save their PFD. Without this opportunity to vote, you are waiving our rights to democracy. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Is there anyone else online? Is there anyone else in the room that would like to testify on this issue? Seeing none, public testimony is closed. What is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, Version 30LS0104, /Delta from committee, with individual recommendations of such 0%.
Thank you. Are there any objections to moving this bill to the next committee referral?
I'm just going to object. Only, I'm not going to hold it up in committee, but I just wanted to make a couple of
comments. Sir, Conklin?
I'm not a big fan of putting this in the Constitution. There are some constitutional principles in here that I don't understand. I think there are, obviously, there's some public support for it. But I think what we're going to do is we're going to create a tension between using any of the earnings reserve and putting this in the dividend. So I'll study that out. I won't hold it up in committee, but I'm going to put a do not pass because I'm just not a big fan of the right. I like the idea of an entitlement. I'm not a big fan of putting it in its constitutional right.
Thank you. Do you
I'll remove my objection.
Thank you. Are there any other objections to moving this bill from committee? Seeing none, SR 1 is going to be moving on to the next committee referral. I'm going to take a brief of these assigned documents. Okay, we're back online. This is the Senate State Affairs Committee. We're now moving on to the next item, which is SCR 1, Uniform Rules of Abstaining from Voting. Senator Gardner is the primary sponsor, or prime sponsor. She's here with us today, and I'm with Samantha Harris. Then they'll present the bill. There is a zero fiscal note. Jerry Anderson is also online with legislative ethics if there are questions from members of the committee. Glad if you could state your name for the record, begin your testimony, introduce your bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the Senate. By happy chance today, I fell on the perfect quote to describe this bill, and it is, "The one thing that doesn't abide by majority rule is a person's conscience." It comes from Scout in To Kill a Mockingbird. And I thought, that's what we're really talking about. As we all know, we rely on Uniform Rule 34B when it comes to conflict of interest for legislators voting. and that says that a member can ask for unanimous consent that he or she be excused from voting because they have a conflict of interest, and then they describe the conflict of interest. Now, theoretically, if nobody objects, the person is allowed to not vote. But in practice, at least in all the years I've been in the legislature, some of the voice in the body says object, and the presiding officer says that the person has to vote. And that's the way, in my experience, it always works. But it's an issue. The public asks about it regularly. I know there's been at least one initiative proposed recently, and since 2007, there have been 13 bills and resolutions that try to address the issue of conflict of interest in voting. And none of them are perfect, and none of them have passed. And I've played around with a variety of ideas, talked to legislators, some of you on this committee, about it, and haven't found a good solution. And the bottom line is a person's conscience should be the guide. And I'm not saying that it hasn't happened, but so the resolution before us proposes to simply require that when a person stands up and asks to be excused from voting, describes a conflict of interest, and somebody objects, that become, all those three parts become part of the record. I know that I have claimed a conflict of interest and asked to be excused. And there are things that I knew weren't really a conflict of interest, but nobody wants to be accused of failing to disclose. I said I've had a conflict of interest about real estate because my daughter sells real estate. I've disclosed to people that my son-in-law works for an oil company. You know, it's not a conflict of interest, and we know that under our statutes it's not. But we tend to over-disclose because we just want to cover our bases. And I'm trying to sort of solve the problem so that when a person has a genuine conflict of interest, there's a path, ultimately. I want to change the culture because the culture is to always make people vote. And yet, if there really is a conflict of interest, the person's conscience should hold. So it's a fairly clear proposal, just part of the record, sunshine measure, and not hard to understand and not complex. I'm avoiding saying simple.
Are you done with the introduction?
I am. Thank you.
Other members, excuse me, have any questions for members of the committee? And Senator Gardner. Senator Cantwell.
Thank you for tackling the issue. It has been a conundrum for many, many years. I think the idea of putting it on record is a good idea. There are a couple of things that I will probably look into. The final sentence you put in here has some good parts and bad parts, so I'll just get in touch with you. But I think it's one good way of saying if you're going to declare an interest, it should be a matter of record. So I think for that, I'm grateful that you wandered out of this territory.
It's just a toe in the deep water.
Any other questions from members of the committee regarding SCLR?
Yes, Mr. Sherman. Did you indicate that Jerry, the director of the ethics, is online? I'd just like to hear from him.
Is Jerry on there? Yes. Mr. Anderson, are you online?
Yes, this is Jerry Anderson. I'm the administrator for the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics.
Senator Diesel, can you state any question for Ms. Anderson?
Well, I don't have a specific question. I'm interested in his opinion on the legislation.
Mr. Anderson?
Through the chair, Senator Diesel, this particular resolution is actually outside. It's from the Uniform Rules and not from the Legislative Ethics Act itself. The Legislative Ethics Act statute references the Uniform Rules, and that is really the only connection with the Legislative Ethics Act. And so I would not presume to speak either for the Ethics Committee on this bill. You have both the Senate members of the Ethics Committee as part of your committee also present, that being Senator Claudio and Senator Ian.
Senator Giesel, Ms. Anderson, I was asked to be present, I believe, by Senator Gardner's office.
Thank you. I assume there was some meaningful reason for that, so that's why I asked you. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Gardner.
If we might, my aide, Senator Harris, has some other research information to present, just very lightly.
As part of your introduction.
Yes.
Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Samantha Harris, for the record, staff to Senator Bernardino. And first, Mr. Chair, Senator Giesel, I just asked Senator Terry Anderson to be available if the conversation entered into ethics laws, just as a reference. I don't have too much more to add from the sponsor's introduction, just that as folks know that there is some documentation that occurs now when a legislator declares a conflict. The fact that they're declaring a conflict is recorded, but the nature of the conflict is not recorded. And the practice is that if multiple objections are made, that in the record it will just say objections were made. If the Senate Secretary or the Chief Clerk can discern who the legislator was that objected, on occasion, they will record that name, but it's not consistent. It's not always the practice. Legislative research into this mosaic, unable to determine any instance in our history with the last legislature when unanimous consent was given for a declaration of conflict of interest, and the National Coalition of State Legislatures, they provided a summary of voting refusal provisions, and that's available in your packets, and they were unable to identify any other state that dealt with conflict of interest declarations as Alaska, where unanimous consent was required. That's really the only additional information I have. I think the sponsor really covered the resolution, and without saying it simple, we highlighted what the resolution is really seeking to do, which is to put more of this on the record as a matter of transparency.
You know, when you keep saying we're trying to avoid simple and keep saying simple, you come to the conclusion that you're really talking about being simple. Are there any questions from members of the committee for Ms. Harris? As you see, we're going to hold SCR over for additional meetings, and we will get back to SCR 1 in future meetings. Thursday, March 9th at 3:30, we're going to be hearing HB 16 driver's license required disability ID and training, SCR 4 task force on unmanned aircraft systems, and we plan to bring back SB 48 insurance for dependents of deceased fire and police at the next meeting. Any closing comments or members of the committee? Seeing none, we are adjourned. Thank you.